God justifies the one who believes in him who justifies the ungodly. He doesn't say the one who justifies the good person. He doesn't say the one who justifies the church member or the one who will justify you if you try your best. He justifies who? Don't miss this. There's only one kind of person he'll justify, an ungodly one. And he justifies you as an ungodly one. Look at verse 5. To the one who justifies the ungodly. And it's singular, by the way. God doesn't justify communities or societies. He justifies individuals who take their place as a sinner, an ungodly one, and lay hold of the one who justifies the ungodly by faith.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in our study of the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, Justification Illustrated. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
My sin charged to Christ's account, Christ's righteousness charged to my account. That is the gospel. I think of so many different statements of it in the New Testament, but I think perhaps one of the better ones, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. This is the gospel. Christ took our place, and we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us upon belief, upon belief. Now, Paul says, this is how Abraham was justified. Far from this being new, it's as old as Abraham, Jews. Far from this being novel, it's as central as Abraham is to the faith. And you remember how this epistle started? Look at verse 2 of the first chapter. When Paul said, I'm going to talk about the gospel of God, verse 1, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul isn't bringing something new or novel when he proclaims the gospel. This is the fulfillment. What then? Do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. We establish the law. That's how he closed chapter 3, you remember? This is a fulfillment. This is the establishment of all that God has said up to now. Abraham, after all, was justified by faith. The righteous man shall live by faith, he quoted to begin this book. The start of this section on justification, look at verse 21. Now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, the Old Testament. You say, how could a New Testament Jew, how could a Jew of Paul's day miss this? Well, I respond, people are very good at missing this. We're practiced at it. There are so many today who say they believe the Bible. And yet their idea of a Christian is basically you try to do your best. Or you try to live by the book. Or you try to do what Jesus would do. Or on and on the list goes of ideas of what a Christian is. People miss the grace of God explained so thoroughly in the Bible. People miss it in the first century. They miss it today. Maybe you're here. And you would say, I believe the Bible, but you've never really seen that the only way to be justified is to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Galatians 3:8 says that God preached the gospel to Abraham. I mean, that's an amazing thing. When Paul amplifies this a bit in Galatians 3, he says, the scripture preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Now, did he give him all the details? I don't think so. Did Abraham understand fully what was going to take place in the future, that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Abraham, would be born of a virgin and would go about doing good among men and would actually die and rise again? Did Abraham know all those details? I don't think so. We know that Abraham heard the gospel beforehand, Galatians 3 tells us, verse 8. But whatever he did know, he believed. He believed God. In Genesis 15, God just simply said, listen, go outside and look at the stars. And he said, you see how numberless those things are? That's how your descendants will be. And Abraham took him at his word. Abraham believed him. And it was reckoned to him as righteousness. You see, Abraham's comprehension of everything about Christ wasn't perfect, but Christ is. And I'll tell you something. Today, is your understanding of Christ perfect? Do you have perfect knowledge? Of course not. Do I? No way. You see, we're not saved by our perfect grasp of these things. We're saved by the object of our faith, the perfect Savior. Take God at His word. Believe Him about what He said regarding Jesus Christ and be declared righteous. Now, verse 4, he reiterates the great principle of justification, grace. We lay hold of it by faith, but we're saved by grace. And he reiterates it. And these two verses, verse 4 and 5, have been used time and time again to unlock this for the human heart. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Christian, memorize these two verses. Hide them in your heart. Treasure them. Non-Christian, I am so glad you're here today. Listen carefully to what God says. What does the Scripture say? That's the question. Not what do I say, not what does this church teach, not what do most evangelicals believe today. No, what does the Scripture say? What has God said? Listen carefully. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 5 and listen carefully. And as I say, if you're here just looking into Christianity, I'm so glad you're here. This is a great place to look. Verse 4 and 5, two strikingly blunt verses. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. There's the work principle, and you earn. And your wage is something that you are owed. But to the one who does not work, he says, verse 5, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. I remember after the Vietnam War, I was on the campus and I walked up to a guy sitting outside on a bench, and he was a Vietnam vet. And he had, in fact, he still had his combat coat on, and he had long hair and the style of the day, long beard, and he looked pretty rough. And his attitude was pretty rough, quite frankly, as I sat down and tried to initiate a conversation about Jesus Christ. But as I explained Christ to him, his interest became more and more evident. And as we talked, he told me that he had been raised in a religious system where if you missed church, you'd go to hell. And I remember him saying it, just boom. And he said, I couldn't put up with that. He said, the resentment spewed out of him a little bit. But then on the other hand, there was still that fear that maybe he was going to hell. And so as I proclaimed Christ to him, it was good news. He listened. The gospel was good news to him. But he said, that's too good to be true. You mean to say that my sin, my guilt could be washed away? You know, we discussed it for some time. And he kept saying, that's just too good to be true. And I said, well, let me show you something. And I turned to Romans 4, verse 4. And I read verse 4 and 5 to him. And he said, what kind of Bible are you reading from? I said, well, it's just a Bible. And he saw what it was saying. To the one who works, his wage is reckoned as a favor. But not as a favor, but as what is due. If you work, why, you earn something. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, and my friend knew that he was ungodly. And he saw what verse 5 is saying. If you'd believe without working, you trust Jesus Christ, you'll be reckoned righteous. And he saw that, and he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. To the one who works, his wage is reckoned not as a favor, but as what is due. I remember when I used to work downtown. For 4 years, we got our paychecks every other week. And at payday, and you know what payday is like. If you're on a crew, usually people get them mailed to them now or whatever, but we were on a crew, and we'd come around, and when the boss gave us our check, we weren't sitting there, oh, thank you so much for this. I'm so grateful for this. That wasn't the tone. It was, hey, how come my overtime isn't on here? What's the deal? You know, why? Verse 4. To the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as grace, but as what is owed him. Hey, I worked late Thursday. It's not on here. What's the deal? Oh, I'll get that point for you. That's the way it was where I worked. You see, when you work for something, it's owed to you. Many people think they're going to put God in their debt. In fact, most people think that if you live a good enough life, he owes you something at the end. And you can kind of walk in on God and say, okay. Oh, you'll never put God in your debt. Look over at chapter 11. You know, when Paul finishes the argument of Romans, chapter 11, he goes 11 chapters before he's really done, you know, before he says amen. And as he closes, as he's thoroughly explained the gospel of grace, look at the last two verses of chapter 11. Who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? Nobody. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You won't give to him first. You give him a life of good works, and then he'll owe you heaven. Oh, no. God will never be in debt to a sinful creature. You can't put God in your debt. Perish the thought. May it never be. Don't you be thinking that way. You say, Scott, why do you bring this up and pound on it? Because most people think this way. The man outside Christ thinks that as long as you do good enough, he'll owe you something. That you can work and then get a wage, eternal life. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen, Paul says. Who could first give to him than think that he might be paid back? No way. You'll never put God in your debt. All of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like filthy garments, the Bible says. Isaiah 64:6. The 49th Psalm, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for his soul. No man. For the redemption of a soul is costly, and he should cease trying, that he should live on forever, that he should not see the pit. That's God's word on it. No man can redeem his soul. Redemption of a soul is costly, the psalmist says. You should cease trying, that you should live on forever and not see the pit. That's God's word on it. Don't you think that you can put God in your debt? I remember sitting down with another man. He wasn't dressed rough. He was dressed sharp. He was a CEO, retired. And he had made a lot of money. And I was sitting in his nice backyard on his patio. And I was sharing the gospel with him. Beautiful day, completely different setting from the other fellow. And he was understanding what I was saying, but he couldn't buy it. He said, that's just too... He knew how the business world worked. He'd been the CEO. He knew you didn't... There's nothing. There's no free lunch. You don't get something for nothing. And so I turned to Romans 4. And I read him verse 4. And 5, not to the one who works. His wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. And my friend, he could understand that. That's what I'm saying. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. You're misreading that, he said. And I said, well, I don't think. He said, reread that. And so I reread it. To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. You're misreading that, he said. He was kind of a take charge guy. I know why he made a lot of money. And he took the Bible. He said, let me see that. And he took the Bible. I handed it to him. And I let him read it, or misread it, as the case may be. And he read it, and he said, to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. What kind of a Bible is this? He said. And then my mind went back to my other friend, you know. I said, it's just a Bible. Reading your own Bible, you know. It's just the Bible. It's the Word of God. And he said, boy, I have a real problem with that. I just can't see that, Scott. And we talked. But he said, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that. You see, it's clear. If you're here today, don't miss it. To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. Maybe that's the hang up, huh? You don't want to take your place as one who is what? Ungodly. You see, God justifies the one who believes in him who justifies the ungodly. He doesn't say the one who justifies the good person. He doesn't say the one who justifies the church member or the one who will justify you if you try your best. He justifies who? Don't miss this. There's only one kind of person he'll justify, an ungodly one. And he justifies you as an ungodly one. Look at verse 5. To the one who justifies the ungodly. And it's singular, by the way. God doesn't justify communities or societies. He justifies individuals who take their place as a sinner, an ungodly one, and lay hold of the one who justifies the ungodly by faith. Well, what about faith without works is dead? Well, it is. But don't confuse the root with the fruit. You come as a one who cannot work, who believes and believes alone, and he'll justify you. And then real faith always produces works. But don't bring in the results at this point. And don't muddy the water here. Listen carefully to what God is saying. To the one who does not work, but believes. And this, by the way, rules out all thought of faith being a work. Lots of times religionists will try to just make faith, well, yeah, you see, you say that what I have to do is believe. I say that what you have to do is try your hardest and keep the Ten Commandments and do this and do that. But you say all I have to do, and they make it into a doing. Oh, no. Look at verse 5. To the one who does not work but believes. It's the opposite of doing anything. Christianity says God did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. God justifies the one who takes his place as a sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, ungodly ones. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Don't let your pride keep you from taking your place as an ungodly one and believing in him who justifies the ungodly. You say, well, you sure like this book of Romans. It's everywhere. It's not just in Romans. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us not according to works which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy and grace. Titus 3:5. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. And don't you try to mix the two. If it's by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Romans 11:6. The sword of the Spirit is very clear. And if today you're hearing his voice, don't you harden your heart. My friend, believed. Verse 5. And you know what? He came to church that very Sunday. Not because he is afraid of going to hell, but because he wasn't going to hell. And his wife came to Christ and his kids, and it was a beautiful transition in his life for all eternity. My other friend, the CEO, I met with him several times. He used to discuss this with me, and he'd come back to it. I just can't believe that. That just seems too good to be true, Scott. And he sat under the preaching of the word. But he did not believe, verse 5. He did not believe that Jesus Christ could save him as an ungodly one. He refused to take his place. And I lost track of him until a mutual friend told me he died. Heart attack, suddenly. He's passed on into eternity. What about you? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you rejoice? Maybe that's why you're here, because you know you're not going to hell. You're going to heaven, and you rejoice and you enjoy Christ. And I say, Christians, enjoy reveling in this, for by grace we've been saved, to the praise of the glory of His grace. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We love to praise Him, and we'll be praising Him throughout eternity. Or maybe you're still saying, I don't know. That seems hard to believe. Take God's word for it. Don't take my word. Take God's word for it. Don't say, well, I just have a hard time buying that. That doesn't seem to be the way the world works. It's not the way the world works. It's the way God works. And He paid His only begotten Son for you. He sent His Son to Calvary to die for your sin. And if you'll believe Him, He'll save you. He'll reckon you righteous. Today, if you hear His voice, it's a sweet voice, isn't it? It's a winsome voice when you stop and think about it. Come to me, He says. I'll give you rest. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Oh, come to Christ today. Let's bow together. And if you're here without Christ, why, there's no little formula. There's nothing you can do. But you've heard very clearly, the choice is yours. Take God at His word. Don't call God a liar. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Justification Illustrated, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're thrilled to announce the publication of a new book written by Pastor Scott Gilchrist. It's called A Brief Exposition of Romans. It's a 266-page chapter-by-chapter commentary on Romans that we're sure will enhance your understanding of this critical book in the New Testament. The book is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most other online booksellers. But during our study of Romans, we'd like to send you a copy as a thank you for a gift of any amount to the ministry of Downtown Bible. You can find us online at downtownbible.org or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon, 97280. We'd love to put this valuable resource in your hands. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us in person for our Sunday worship services at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. at the church located at the corner of Southwest Murray and Weir Road in Beaverton. You can go to our website at swbible.org for more details. We hope to see you there. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
That's what Romans is all about. describing and exposing the early part of Romans, just how sinful we are, and getting us to admit it. The blessing is not on those who rationalize their sin or change the definition of sin. That's what we're good at today. And we've said, well, that's no longer good, evil. We'll call it good, in fact. And we call evil good, and we even call good evil in our culture. And that's exactly what Isaiah describes in Isaiah chapter 5. That's old news to God, too, trying to redefine things and say they're not really wrong. It doesn't work. You've got a so-called liberated America today with epidemic guilt. Even though we've said there's nothing wrong with it, it's not working. It's not working, and it never does. It never does. What we really need is forgiveness.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 3 of the message titled Justification Illustrated. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.